Welcome to Higher Ed, KUT's podcast focusing on issues of higher education, lifelong learning, and exercising the brain. I'm Jennifer Staton with KUT 90.5, Austin's NPR station, talking as always with Dr. Ed Berger, president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. Hello, Ed.
Hello, Jennifer, and welcome back to my beautiful campus here in Georgetown, Texas.
Thank you. It is always a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me to record Higher Ed. It's always fun to come up here.
And be in our soundstage.
And be in your soundstage.
Here in the library.
Here in the library.
In the center of campus.
It is kind of fun because we can be loud in here, even though it's in a library.
I never thought about that. We can yell and scream because it's all
Because
padded.
It's all soundproofed and set up acoustically in here. So, you know, Ed, it's really nice because we've been hearing from lots of listeners who are letting us know they're enjoying the podcast, and they have ideas for episodes. And we had a great email from a listener, Bill, who
I think I got this one, too. He sent it to me, too.
He sent it to both of us. And he had ideas for a couple of episodes. And I want to get to one of those topics today because I think it's really interesting and really relevant. What his question is, what he's posing is, should mindset, persistence, which he also identifies as grit, mindfulness, caring, and passion be included as part of school curricula? So he sort of says, well, if not, then how do young people learn this? But if yes, then how do we go about teaching teachers and instructors and administrators how to teach that? Boy, I think that's wonderful question.
Yeah, I think Bill's question is fantastic. And you know, it's the phrase, the idea of grit and you know, kind of a mindset, mindfulness, caring, passion, and so forth. The answer is yes. That, in fact, should be front and center together with the content of what we want to teach. So currently, if you look at, you know, kind of grade school all the way up through and including most undergraduate institutions, it's all content, right? Here's how you multiply. Here's how you divide. Here's how you take the square root. Here's how you take a derivative. And it goes on and goes on and goes on. And the truth is, and we've talked about this a lot together, that, you know, those facts and those techniques, unless we use them every day in our lives, we're going to let go. So what's left? Well, the answer, what's left is these mindsets, an ability to have grit whenever you're facing any issue, being mindful and caring and passionate and so forth. Those are the things that will persist long after you forget all the material. So, you know, at Southwestern, I'm really, really proud that at Southwestern University, you know, we talk about how our focus is, you know, think, create, connect. And so we think through the curriculum and we think through a particular topic rather than just think about the topic. You know, it just kind of ends there. And so practicing these practices of living and thinking to create new ideas, to create new connections, and to go deeper, that to me, I think, should be part of the curriculum.
Doesn't some of that come along with the more traditional curricula, though? You know, I'm thinking of something like math for me, where I had to learn some patience. I had to learn some persistence because a lot of times I wasn't getting the answer to the question necessarily on the first or second or third round.
Well, and I mean, and you're bringing up a good point. I mean, if you think of what grit is, it's actually like my favorite four-letter word that starts with F, which is fail.
Ah,
right?
Yes.
I mean, we talk about effective failure. That's nothing more than grit in my mind, because effective failure means that you try something and either purposefully get it wrong to have an insight, or you accidentally get it wrong. And then you have to have the grit to then figure out, what do I learn from here? How do I stand back up and rise up and continue to move forward? And what do I learn from what I've just done? That's part of grit. I mean, I guess. I mean, grit to me is the kind of the tenacity. But you've got to have thoughtful tenacity. You've got to have mindful tenacity. You just can't keep trying something kind of randomly, although sometimes that might work. But I mean, to say, okay, why didn't that work? And how am I going to now take a step in a slightly different direction? And why do I think now that might lead me to success? These are the kind of questions that you have to kind of incorporate with the mindset of grit, you know?
So I'm going to play devil's advocate for a minute and say, but when you're in a formal education setting and you've only got X number of hours, X number of courses, X number of years, aren't you taking away time from the three R's or your more traditional academic subjects by trying to incorporate something like this into a curriculum in a more formal way?
So it's a brilliant question, Jennifer, and I'm going to answer it in a way that many people will either be offended by or find controversial, but it is reality, but it is controversial. You're absolutely right. You can't cover it all. And if you get back to what I said earlier, if you are honest and realize that most of the content that we learn, if they gave us any final, either one of us, not in our area, so if it's a non-math final, if it's a non-journalism type, you know, English type final, would we get a perfect score? The answer is no. So the truth is that all of that is short term. You know, at some previous broadcast, we talked about the sponge, the dry sponge. Well, it's the same thing. If you're just going to quickly run some water through it, it's going to kind of pass over it. What I'm trying to do is to get the sponge to kind of breathe and come to life. And so I'd rather have the sponge be a little smaller, but kind of full of life forever, than to have it be larger and the water just runs off and then you move on. That's empty. So yes, I would say that, I mean, and I'll speak for math.
Okay.
You take a look at the math curriculum from K, let's say up through 12. I think that in every single course, every single year, you could reduce the content probably, I'm just going to make up a number just for controversy, by 25%.
Ooh, that 25%. Seems like a lot.
All right, then 20%. see how easy I fold? 20% less in every single year. But fill that time with kind of the habits and practices of thinking, of being mindful about understanding and having a deeper understanding and a deeper appreciation and maybe even an appreciation and passion for the material. They're going to retain it longer. It's going to be more meaningful to them, and they're going to actually have something that's useful throughout the rest of their lives rather than rushing through everything and forgetting it all.
So what does teaching topics such as this look like? You know, I mean, somebody might say, well, that's a psychology class, it's a psychology textbook. I don't think that's the spirit of this discussion. It's about teaching these skills along the way.
Through every discipline. That's why.
So how do you weave it in, you know, say to math?
Well, you would talk about, I mean, so every time, like when I teach calculus. So 2 years ago, I taught a calculus class here at Southwestern University. And every time we resolved an issue, so we answered a question and did something, I would stop and say, okay, how did we do that? And I wasn't looking for someone saying, oh, take the derivative, set it equal to zero, factor, solve, check your answers. But saying, okay, well, we're looking for the max or the min of something. And so what does that mean? And it forces them to tell a story. And we can do that in every single discipline. I mean, when I talk about think, create, and connect, I follow that with to make meaning and to make a difference. And the making the meaning means to really go deep in understanding, to really understand. And so in every subject, we could actually offer that as a prompt and say, okay, what just happened here? And by asking that, then you are beginning to be self-reflective and pulling yourself out. And you're thinking like the instructor, which is exactly what we want. We want people to kind of get into the head of the instructor and see how that individual looks at the world through that lens, through that discipline. And then you have this multiplicity of lenses through which you can see the world in living color.
And so it's going to broaden your view. It's going to broaden everybody's view.
Exactly. Exactly.
All right. So I want to return to the puzzler right now.
Oh, from last time?
From last episode.
Oh, all those eights.
All the eights. Eights.
Yes.
Was it eight eights?
Yes. The question was, how can you add eight eights to get 1,000?
Okay.
Now, I remember last time you wrote down eight.
I did.
Eight.
I had a
column
of eight eights.
Yeah.
That wasn't really getting me anywhere.
But that would be eight plus eight plus eight.
Right. I mean, that would just be eight, which is 64. So we're not even close.
Not even close.
So where my mind went was, we need eight eights is not going to get us there.
Mm-hmm.
So my question to you last episode was, what are the units? Eight what? Are we talking about eight pens, eight water bottles? Because my first thought was, what if it's 8 pounds and that's 16 ounces per pound?
Oh, look at, so you're changing units.
So yeah.
By the way, I hated that in school. That was the only thing in math I
hated. That was hard.
Was the changing of the units. And you had to write like, you know, square feet at the end of the area and I'd get points taken off. I used to, well, that's the end of the story. No, this is not a unit question.
Oh, okay. I thought that would get us to 1,000.
Let me tell you how I thought about this.
Yeah.
Okay. So if we need to get 1,000.
Yes.
One question we can ask is, we have to end in a zero.
Right.
So again, let's just start off simply. Can we think of adding a bunch of eights together so that whatever the answer is, it ends in a zero? So how many eights do you have to add Or put it another way, what times 8 equals something that ends in a 0?
Well, of course, 0. Because anything yes. times but 0 then, is
so,
0.
So it takes 0 8s to make 0. That's sure. right. But we have 8 8s. So we have
I mean, anything that's a unit of 10 will have you end in a 0. So 10, 100.
But we only have 8 8s. I know. So it's got to be a number smaller than 10. And you know the answer.
What times
8 ends in a 0?
5.
There you go. Right.
Yeah.
So to me, that's where I would start. So here's an example of just starting simple. So if I have just 8, 8, 8, 8, 8, a column of 5 8s, that's going to end in a 0. That gets me to my first spot. And now, of course, the answer that would give me is 40, so I'd have to carry the 4. And so you got to think about how many 8s could you add together and then add 4 so it ends in a 0?
Whoa, say that again?
Sure. How many 8s? Can you add together so that when you add 4, it ends in a 0?
How many 8s? So you need to get something that ends in a 6.
Ah, there you go. So how many 8s when you add together ends in a 6?
7.
Smaller than that.
2.
There you go.
Right? 16. I went to 56.
Yeah, you went way too big. Yeah, so you're thinking too big. You got to think.
2. 16.
So 8 and 8, and then plus the 4 we carry. So that means that there must be 2 8s in the next digit of these numbers,
uh-huh.
and then that would give us a 0, and then we would carry a 2. And so now, how many 8s plus 2 give me something that ends in a 0?
How many 8s plus, 1.
Right, exactly.
Because 1 times 8 is 8 plus
right.
2 is 10.
And look what happens. So the first number was 888, 3 8s in a row. The next number was 88, 2 8s in a row.
Very funny.
And then we had
an
8, and an 8, all separate. So the numbers are 888 plus 88 plus 8 plus 8 plus 8. And we just figured out it has to equal 1,000.
That's so interesting because now thinking back on my thought process was I limited what I thought the value of an 8 was. So I thought 8 only had – I didn't think of combining it.
Digits. Yes, digits. Yeah. So this was sneaky. That's why
I love that.
You asked the question last time about, you know, are they unit – and I didn't want to answer because the truth is, well, it's actually 8 100s and 8
right, tens.
And so in a way you were right actually, but I didn't want to kind of confuse the issue. but it's just can you arrange those 8s? But notice that the way that I thought about it was just do something simple first. Let's just end in a 0.
Because we know
to get to 1,000, you got to end in the digit 0. Mm-hmm. So how many 8s does that require? And then you sort of slowly work your way up. It's a great way to illustrate, to understand something simple and then kind of work your way from there.
Well, and it's actually in some ways a great way to illustrate what we've been talking about in this episode, which is
right.
teaching and conveying things that aren't necessarily specific academic topics, but mindset, persistence, mindfulness, caring, passion, grit. That's been
yep.
a big one this episode.
Of course.
You kind of, to solve this puzzle, you really kind of had to stick with it and maybe have an example. Oh, that one didn't work. Toss it. Try another one. So it actually brings in a lot of those qualities that our listener, Bill, who was the originator of this question, was wondering, should we teach those?
And the passion to kind of continue. So you've got to be intriguing. And with respect to the mindfulness comment that he made or that he wrote, you know, in this course that I taught last semester at Southwestern called Effective Thinking and Creative Puzzle Solving, they actually had to be mindful for 10 minutes every day. And I think that, well, they shared with me that it really made a difference in their lives. It got them to kind of engage. We're talking about time management, and that's a way to manage your time too. The thing we haven't talked about, which was in his question, was caring. And I think that's interesting. And of course, I'm in the field of mathematics, which a lot of people see as kind of dry and sterile. And I'm probably not the best person to talk about that because I'm not in the humanities per se, where you have more of a kind of an emotional side to this. But, you know, this does occur. And a lot of schools kind of have a focus on that. You know, at Southwestern, we actually have a commitment to civic engagement and social justice. And so that is part of our curriculum. But even at the lower end, you know, at high schools and elementary schools, a lot of times classes and students will take on projects to show, to build that practice of giving back or feeling a part of a community and to actually care. And I think that it was interesting that he used that word care because I think that needs to be part of one's formal education is to realize that, you know, there are other people who might have different points of view, who might have different perspectives, and you have to be able to live in a world with those people and ideally productively and effectively and joyfully.
Well, Ed, thank you for helping us keep our lives productive and joyful and keep our brain sharp. Dr. Ed Berger is president of Southwestern University in Georgetown, Texas. You can find out more at southwestern.edu and keep your brain busy by keeping up with the news and other episodes of Higher Ed at KUT.org. You can also find Higher Ed on iTunes. I'm Jennifer Staten with KUT News.